Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall is separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to recognize the power there is in the death and resurrection of Jesus, in the cross. I mean, in the blood, in the name of Jesus. And my guest is Nick Grimsman, and Nick was diagnosed with incurable schizophrenia. There was no hope for him. He had been involved in a religious cult, and they did what the devil wanted them to do. He was left hopeless. But he went home in his worst situation, and his mom said, "There's a nice little Assembly of God church. Why don't you go there?" He goes down to the altar, and he gets enough of deliverance that he can think clear. And he started getting revelations of what was wrong with him. What did God begin to show you?
He starts showing me that that when I believe lies, when I was believing lies, that somehow the evil spirits could come and attach to those lies. And since I was in a cult and I believed a lot of false doctrines and a lot of fear about blasphemy and things like that, I had a lot of these different strongholds. They're like almost wrapped around my mind, it felt like. And so after I prayed that night with those people, I came back to my house, and my mother had a pool outside. I always remember this. My mother had this pool outside, and I used to walk around the pool, and I'd listen to MP3 music, you know, like a CD of worship music. I'd walk around the pool, and I'd pray, and I prayed like the people did for me at the altar. You know, they commanded Satan to come out in the name of Jesus. And it was that easy. And so I went around the pool, and I started commanding Satan to come out in the name of Jesus. I said, "In the name of Jesus, Satan, you will leave me. You will come out in the name of Jesus. Leave my brain." And I still remember the first evil spirit that came out of me through self-deliverance. I had my hand on my stomach because—
And that's what you teach now, self-deliverance. It's, I mean, how many Bible believers have ever had a course in that? Not too many. Go ahead.
So I was walking around this pool, and I was crying to God, and I put my hand on my stomach, and I just said, "In the name of Jesus, you will come out, Satan," for like probably the 100th time in like the hour. All of a sudden, this spiritual force started like shaking me, and this thing just lifted right out of my head, and it came out of my body. It came out so fast and so powerful that I fell on the ground and I just started crying. And I was so thankful. At that moment, I realized what Jesus said is real. That is 100% true, that in my name, you will cast out evil spirits.
Now, it took about 3 months of you just going step by step as the Holy Spirit was showing you. How long did it take you to get off of all your medications? You were taking about 8 to 10 medications a day, and you were involved in pornography and smoking and other things. How long did it take to get free? And have the schizophrenia, period, how long?
The schizophrenia itself left within 3 to 6 months. I'm not really sure exactly. But it was like, it felt like it was layers. Like it wasn't just, I prayed one time around the pool and it left. It was layers of lies that I was believing that were built on other lies. And so I had these addictions because when I got out of the cult, I was trying to be part of the world again. And so I picked up all these addictions again. I was smoking. I was excessive eating. I was looking at pornography. I was severely addicted to pornography. Just different sins that I was, you know, bondages that I was in that I used to be free from. And I got into them again because my personality, I was just trying to find myself. Because for people out there who struggle with mental illness, they know what I'm talking about here. It's almost like my personality was a block of cheese. And when I got diagnosed with schizophrenia, it was like the cheese went through a grater, and then they put it in a bag and they handed it to me. And then I tried to find my personality again. And when it's like that, it's only by the grace of God that you can find your true identity.
Okay, so it took several months to get free of schizophrenia. How long did you get free of some of the things like pornography and smoking and other things you picked up?
It took a while to get free from smoking because part of me, reminded me of my childhood. And so that was a stronghold that took a while to deal with. And the great thing about the process of deliverance from smoking in general was that I learned really how to pray more. You know, a lot of times you want to be free so bad, but sometimes God wants you to overcome things. And so I would look for deliverance. I'd go places, pray for me. I want this cigarette addiction gone. But the Lord wanted to do it himself in my room one night. One night I was crying out to him, and I remember the Holy Spirit came in my room, and he just came right upon me when I was laying down in my bed. And then the spirit that was causing me to smoke so much, it just lifted right out of my body, and I never smoked again.
And another thing that I think is so wonderful is you attached yourself to a senior man that understood deliverance. And you would see people healed of things like cancer and mental illness and almost everything. Am I right?
Yeah, this gentleman was a Christian counselor, and he kind of took me under his wing. He went to the church that I was going to, and he took me under his wing, and he helped me realize that I wasn't a blasphemer, that I didn't blaspheme, and he really mentored me a lot in the deliverance and healing.
And yeah, you know, with the stronghold that you had, that you had blasphemed the Holy Spirit, it must have been very hard to just come to the conclusion it's not true, because you have so many layers or bands of these demonic strongholds.
Mm-hmm. And one thing with working with people now in the ministry, I see many people who are diagnosed mentally ill who actually believe that they blasphemed. And so if you go into a mental hospital, a great percentage of the people in there actually believe they blasphemed. And through that fear, the enemy can keep them in bondage.
Just out of curiosity, what would be one or two quick steps if you bumped into someone and they said, oh, I believe in Jesus, I love Jesus, but I've committed the unpardonable sin? What would you do?
The first thing I ask them is, why do they believe that? And then the most thing I hear is that they sinned too much, that they think they sinned too much. And then also I let them know that if you were actually a blasphemer and you actually did all that, you wouldn't care, because real blasphemers do not care. So if you have conviction for something or you feel like you did something wrong, that means God's still working with you. So you never blasphemed.
But I would still think there's in such a fog that that's good logic for someone not in a fog. But for someone in that fog, how do you get through?
Well, sometimes it does take a mature Christian to walk through the Word of God with them, and it has to be done in love. A lot of times people, you know, they get legalistic and things, but it's really love that sets people free. And I've met many people that believe that they blasphemed, and I've never met somebody who actually did.
Now, this is the most amazing thing. Wait till you hear this. Nick was decertified of being schizophrenic, went back to the institution that he was a patient in, and became a manager there. And you had 50 employees under you. Is that true?
Yeah, I became a manager, and then they moved me up to an administrator where I was running several programs. We worked with HUD programs with people who were struggling with mental illness and alcoholism, you know, drug addiction, who we put in apartments. I did an events program. I ran a program for crisis where people would call and they would have problems, and we'd go to their house and support them. So I have a lot of experience with helping people.
You must have a lot of compassion for people that were where you were at. What about all those, you know, and I was shocked when you told me this, that the cult you were part of that really caused your serious problems, although the cult leader is in prison for 175 years, a lot of the people are so broken, they're still in the cult.
Yeah, unfortunately, some people are still operating in the cult, and they still, you know, do his writings and things and hand those out, and it's very sad. I pray for them.
Mm. Okay, so why do you want people to know they can be free of mental illness? They can be free of spirits of infirmity. They can be free of fear. They can be free of addictions of all kinds. They can be free of these curses. So few teach on this. Is this your passion, to get people free?
Yes, it is, because when I was diagnosed, my mother called. She called many churches in the area we lived in, all the big churches, small churches, and she was asking them specifically, "Can you help somebody with schizophrenia? Can you help somebody who has demons?" Because my mom pretty much figured I did, because I would talk to him all day and things, and all the churches told my mother that I just needed to go to the psych hospital, or that they didn't believe that you know, Christians could have, you know, schizophrenia if they was really a Christian or have spirits or anything like that. And so my passion is to basically I want to expose the devil. That's what I want to do. I want to expose the devil. Because the devil is trying to take people's destinies from them.
Okay, the booklet you wrote, it's amazing. You have put so much in this short book. You've jam-packed it, but it's not just theory. It's scripture and what you've walked through, and step-by-step how people can get free. Not only do we have the book, but we also have a DVD in which you pray for people to be set free from addictions, from emotional problems, from mental problems, from addictions of all kinds, and then you pray that prayer over them, and then the two teaching CDs, the first CD, you explain how strongholds operate and how someone go through self-deliverance step by step, how to get free of addictions, and you teach on it, and the second CD is Intimacy with the Holy Spirit, which I understand is one of your favorite subjects, and we're making this entire freedom package available for a gift of $35. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.